And tape.
Okay, so always the guy who cloned E2F is going to take all the credit. For example, the P53 word. The guy who discovered P53, Arne Levine and David Lang, is going to claim all the credit for P53. Eventually, if there's going to be a Nobel Prize awarded for P53, they are the people who's going to get it. And however, how many people work on P53? Every week, there are like 70 papers published each week on P53. And then there's all these great scientists who actually made their name working on P53 by discovering various aspects of P53 function. But still, they are not in the same level as the guy who initially discovered it. Mm-hmm. Even though those people, Arne Levine, may not contributed as great as some of the later people who, in terms of studying how P53 works. Mm-hmm. But still, you view them differently, you know. So they're not at the same level.
So how important is it for you to get that recognition? Is that what it's about, or is it about doing something different, or both?
Huh. Yeah, I think it's doing something important that you can be recognized as somebody special. Mm-hmm. And try to be in an important position, as important as possible. You shouldn't at this. When you are young, you shouldn't go for the safe way of pursuing things. Mm-hmm. The safer, the less risk you take, the less reward you're going to get. It's very similar to the stock market. And so you can, I'm the adventurous type, you know, the artistic type, the creative type. I want to do something that is going to have the potential to be something important. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's a matter of luck. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these things you don't know when you're starting doing it. You know, this gene can turn out to be something really not interesting.
Right.
I could spend all my life chasing something not interesting. But at least you think while you are working on it, you think there is a good chance that's going to be something important. If it's important. Imagine if it's like P53, then my position would be, you know, you have to put yourself at least in that kind of pursuit to at least have a chance to be the top of your profession. Mm-hmm. So you need to work on something that could potentially lead you there. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to limit yourself this early to work on something safe, and but you know there's no chance for you to get to the highest possible place you can be. Mm-hmm. So that's my motivation, is to be original, to have a chance to be the best.
Okay.
And I can see this is a risky approach. Yeah. And you know, a lot of time you feel isolated because you got no colleagues to talk to, nobody is working on this. Mm-hmm. You have to do it yourself, and then isolated and ignored, right? That happens. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes worry about all these things, but somehow I stuck it out, and so far I think it's going to pay off in the end. So again, my my experience during the past 8 years again affirmed my belief in this. You pay your dues, you get your rewards. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I saw that I had paid my dues 2 years ago when my first R1 was not renewed.
Oh.
And I had a lag period where I only got 1 grand left. So I have to let everybody in the lab to go. Basically, I'm alone for like a few months.
Oh, wow.
And then
all the technicians.
Yeah,
and the
they're all gone.
Oh, wow.
And then I started from zero again, recruiting and building to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I, even then, I told my I told my postdocs that I have to let them go. I say, at that time, I didn't know my grant was going to be turned down. I say, I was still pretty confident that they're going to give us. I even told them, if they turn me down, that means this regime is going to be really important. Based on my belief in this. You know, you suffer first, you're almost bankrupt, you are at the age of being lose everything. Somehow, if you can survive that period, mm-hmm. then things are going to turn around.
Mm-hmm. Now, does this institution, if something like that happens to you, there some places will, you know, tide you over for a little while. They'll give you some money to keep you going.
Right, right. They will do. I really have not been to such that situation that I have no money at all left. Mm-hmm. So at that time, if that happens, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe they can give me some money, or maybe they don't. Depends mm-hmm. on if mm-hmm. they think my project is going to have mm-hmm. Some future or not. So what happened in my case was I lose 1 grand, I still have a medium-sized grant mm-hmm. that I can pay myself and maybe some lab supplies. And then immediately I got another grant, new grant coming in.
Oh, okay. So a new R01?
New
or?
R1. Uh-huh. So the old R01 was not renewed, but in the meantime I had applied for a new R1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it was a short time?
Yeah, it was a relatively short time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there are so many things that, you know, PIs have to do nowadays, grant writing being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually wanted to talk about that just a little bit. How much time does that take for you? I mean, is that something that eats a lot of your time or... Not much.
Yeah, it's a significant portion of time, I would say. You know, maybe 3 months out of a year.
Out of each year?
Yeah.
Wow, that is a lot of time.
Right.
Mm, wow. And in terms of the writing, I know that that you said writing hasn't been a big problem for you. And actually, I was reading over your Pew materials. I think it was Dr. Hershey who actually, you know, he wrote you a letter of recommendation
right.
for the Pew. You probably haven't seen it,
no.
But I have.
Yeah. You sent all the recommendation letters. Okay.
And he said that your writing skills were competitive with the American mm-hmm. students, which mm-hmm. I find incredibly impressive because... Mm. Writing in another language, and especially the difference between, you know, when you have languages of two different alphabets, it's pretty difficult.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I have seen now many Chinese postdoc students who study here, and... I thought their writing was very poor,
mm-hmm.
and even compared to my own writing. I can see that for most Chinese students, postdocs, it is a big problem in terms of writing. Mm-hmm. Few of them can write a grant proposal or fellowship on themselves.
Can you do it yourself?
I did it. Of course, I did my fellowship writing as a postdoc myself, mm-hmm. and I even wrote a review mm-hmm. for the professor, even mm-hmm. though we co-authored it, but I wrote it. Mm-hmm. So I can say, I think after graduate school, my writing was already competitive already. Mm-hmm. And then it's a matter of when did I achieve that level of competitiveness. in graduate school, maybe? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I did write my own paper for my graduate work. Mm-hmm. And John Hershey helped editing it. Mm-hmm. I find his writing very helpful. Mm-hmm. It's much better than mine. And I learned a great deal from that.
Mm-hmm. Do you need any editorial help at this point? Or
at this point?
Yeah.
Rarely.
Really?
The Institute actually gave us $1,000 each year to seek professional editing service mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. for our papers and stuff. And I did it once with one of the review papers, the Yinyang paper. And I don't particularly find them to be very helpful. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's mostly grammar type of changes, mm-hmm. whereas in our writing, I think more important is how to make the idea flow more mm-hmm. clearly, mm-hmm. and make the text more easily mm-hmm. understood, mm-hmm. or make the sentence read more smoothly or something, you know. Mm-hmm. Some kind of grammar type of correction is not going to really drastically improve the paper that much. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't that enthusiastic mm-hmm. of sending the paper out, mm-hmm. even though I have this money and mm-hmm. which I better use them, otherwise
they take it back.
They take it back, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't find that too useful, mm-hmm. whereas it could be very useful for experienced, very good scientist with a good writing style mm-hmm. to actually help to mm-hmm. correct or edit.
Mm-hmm. Well, with the last thing about the grants that I kind of wanted to explore with you is, you know, there's an uncertainty which all scientists live with and which you actually had to face once, which is not having any money or enough money.
Right.
So how do you handle the uncertainty?
How do you handle the uncertainty? That was an issue my wife always argued with me about. Your job is so insecure,
yeah.
and you better move to a safer place. So, again, as I have mentioned this, that is, I want to put myself into a situation that I can do the best. Mm-hmm. And my goal was not just to get the grant money. My goal was to do good science, mm-hmm. do a top science. Then the money will come. Whereas if I chase money, then I really need to worry about it all the time. And then my science actually will suffer. Mm-hmm. There are really two ways of doing science, doing biology work, biomedical work these days, and most people are doing it by chasing money, which is regardless of the topic. So a lab may have three grants. Mm-hmm. The three grants were on different subjects. They were written because they think it's going to get the money. And the three things are not that related, maybe somehow indirectly related. Mm-hmm. And none of them may be that unique or creative, and maybe they're all like competitive. Because mm-hmm. to work on something that other people have done, especially some dominant figure in the field have done something, and you come in to work on some aspects of it, generally you will be favored, at least by the dominant guy. He sees all these people working on his subject and build his own story. Mm-hmm. That's something I like to see for my own subject. So I can feel uh-huh. that. So that's something I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. To do something just for the sake of getting money. Mm-hmm. So my dream was for me to establish my own topic. Once I establish it to be so important, then I will don't have to worry about grant money uh-huh. anymore. Mm-hmm. Think about if you're in a position like some of the very big scientists, they don't worry about money. Mm-hmm. You know, money will flow to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It is harder, though, to sell the NIH on a new area because they like a lot of supporting data.
That's right.
In order to fund, in fact, they pretty much want the study done before they fund it.
Right. Yeah. That's why in the past 7 or 8 years, we are kind of struggling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with grants. Since we haven't really opened up this area mm-hmm. to say, oh, this is clearly important. There's no question you should fund this too. Mm-hmm. I think now it's going to turn around.
Mm-hmm. Well, how important are the alternate sources, like for instance the Pew money, you know, which you didn't have to wait for the NIH for?
Yeah, the Pew is important, and actually started this. We started this knockout project with the Pew money, mm-hmm. and without the Pew money, it's probably going to be a little bit more stretching, but. We would probably have done it anyway, uh-huh. yeah, regardless whether we have the money or not. But mm-hmm. having the money certainly helped. So I think in terms of money, the Pew money isn't really such a big plus for the lab. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that much money.
It's not a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think what it does to somebody like me who is working on some new area, some new things that is kind of isolated, this pure word gives you the additional confidence that you know you're onto something important mm-hmm. that have been partially recognized. Mm-hmm. Right? Not fully recognized, but you know somebody is recognizing this as being important and mm-hmm. they think you can do it. Mm-hmm. So that helps you to stick with it. Mm-hmm. Stick with the plan. Just go for it. Mm-hmm. And ignore all the criticisms. Mm-hmm. You know, without the pure, you probably will start to doubt yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though you consider yourself self-confident, but the confidence also needs cultivating.
Yes.
Needs a feedback. So,
yeah, sure.
So we routinely should get some positive feedbacks. Yeah. And, so I think in that regard, it helps you raise your perspectives. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, once you view yourself as among the best scientists, mm-hmm. then you should ask, are you doing work that is justify you being in that group? What kind of work are you doing?
So there's some prestige associated with the award.
Right.
Yeah, well, most of the scholars that I had interviewed before, you know, talked about how nice the meetings were, and of course I hadn't experienced one until just last week. Mm-hmm. But the meetings are very good from a, well, they're very pleasant, for one thing.
Yeah.
But it's also not very often that you get to go to a multidisciplinary conference.
Right. You don't. That's right. That's right. You don't usually go.
Yeah.
So this, in a way, you learn maybe all kinds of different things, mm-hmm. to get different perspectives, and it's helpful in that regard, especially when you are starting out. Mm-hmm. You haven't really have a fixed idea on what you want to do. Your attitude is still trying to learn something new. Mm-hmm. That's going to be very helpful. Mm-hmm. But once you're at the point that you are pretty much satisfied with what you're mm-hmm. doing, and you have enough things to worry about, mm-hmm. you don't want to get distracted.
No.
Then I see people going to these meetings, and generally they are just preabsorbed with their own interest, so mm-hmm. they still just like to listen to the talks that they have some interest in.
Yeah.
Whereas some other talks, they have no idea mm-hmm. what's there. They even don't bother to go mm-hmm. to listen to set. You can mm-hmm. tell from this meeting mm-hmm. that a lot of people were not in the meeting room mm-hmm. during some of the talks, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe half was gone, playing somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Parasailing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So I gradually find meetings to be this way. Uh-huh. It's even though some meetings, you know, broad topics, and uh-huh. people still go in just for their own little field.
Uh-huh.
Students may be more broad interested. Uh-huh. For a scientist to be good at what he's doing, to know more doesn't really help. Knowledge is not necessarily a good thing.
Okay.
Kills creativity.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, let's go back a little bit to... I want to talk a little bit about... We touched on the grant issue, but there are many things that PIs have to do. Mm-hmm. And... besides grant writing, many have to teach. Now, you mentioned that up until recently there was no formal affiliation with the university,
right.
But now some people are actually from here are actually teaching classes over there.
Right.
Do you have any teaching responsibilities?
No, I don't have at the moment. Maybe in the future, I don't know.
Is that something you would want to do or not? You know, some people wish it would go away, and other people like it.
I wish I don't have to teach. Uh-huh. I don't really have a motivation to teach.
Uh-huh.
I'd rather get my work done, get my own research into... I'm pretty much one-directional focus.
Okay.
Once I set a goal, if this is the work I do, I'll pretty much do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard for me to enjoy other things if that thing is not really mm-hmm. related to this.
Okay.
So teaching is, I view it, you know, for the student perspective, of course, is very important. But for the teachers, they are basically just donating their time.
Mm-hmm.
And they may learn something also, but mostly they're contributing something, mm-hmm. right? And I don't know what's the motivation for people who wants to teach. I think educating youth, they enjoy doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm naturally not a good teacher, I think.
Not?
No.
Because?
I'm kind of impatient and...
Oh.
Also, I think I'm not very good at explaining complicated things in simple, simple ways that other people can understand easily. So it's, you know, in my, you know, you can see I interact with my postdocs all the time, and so not teaching in the class type of way, but you can call that also teaching,
informal,
right?
Yeah.
Informed, yeah. And so I think sometimes I didn't do it very well.
Do you have graduate students or just postdocs in your lab?
Just postdocs in the lab, yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to come back in a little while to your lab and how you run it, but but let's move along with these PI responsibilities for the moment. What about paper writing? How much of your time does that take up?
Yeah, nowadays my focus is to get all these papers published, so it's been my full-time job almost. Every day I would do some writing on papers, and also of course some lab work, which mostly designing type of work. I have to worry what the technician will do every day. So besides that, I will mostly write
You're
papers.
Mostly writing?
Yeah.
Okay. And if you could just describe maybe a little bit the process that you go through in writing papers.
The process.
Yeah.
Well, we first have data generated, and then making the figures. Then we'll write the results and the procedures, the introduction, discussion. Once you get used to it, it seems not so difficult. You can even copy from your old paper some of the same paragraphs. For example, like the procedures. You know, the same procedure was used before and used here, and just copy them, paste them, and stuff. You can generate the paper pretty quickly that way.
Well, who writes? Do the postdocs write, or do you write, or?
It depends. For some postdocs, they can write. They do, and if they cannot, I will do it. And even when they do, they will usually just give me a draft to work on it substantially. And mostly they will get the results written down. And they will make the figures. Sometimes I do it myself. And yeah, it depends on the project was heavily involved. How involved was the postdoc in terms of carrying on this project? Sometimes many persons are involved in this project. Like this knockout mice take 5 years. The postdoc who did the initial work had a long left, and then of course I have to be the person to write the thing. And in some other projects, the postdoc had this idea to work on it, and basically carried it by himself all along. Then it's a good idea to let him do everything. Yeah.
Do you like writing for publication, or is it a chore?
I think I like it if I have something to write about. It's exciting.
It always helps if you have something to say.
Yeah, if you don't have something, it's not good. And now, compared to bench work or writing, I at least at this moment, I don't miss the bench work. Yeah. In the beginning of my life, I was working a lot. Of course, that's natural. I don't have that much data to write about. But now, I have more data than I can write. Mm-hmm. So, to get all this published is more important to me at this point than mm-hmm. generating more data. Mm-hmm. Because the data we already have is so important that it's going to be very essential to have them published mm-hmm. in the best possible way. Mm-hmm. So I realize that, and I'm willing to spend whatever is necessary mm-hmm. to do it.
Okay. What about, do you have any administrative responsibilities?
Not really. That's what's pretty nice here is the bureaucracy. They try to limit that.
Okay.
And PI generally do not have real responsibility other than run their labs. Mm-hmm. Some PI may run a facility, like a sequencing facility or a mouse facility, which you know not every PI will do. So at least for me, I haven't get involved in any of these activities. And once I run a seminar series, which I host speakers and invite speakers, other than that, right now I'm basically just my lab.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you are at a private institute, which is, you know, sort of like, I imagine in some ways like Cold Spring Harbor,
right.
Or like
exactly
Star.
Same outfit.
Yeah. And it's a different life than people who are at academic institutions because most of the time they have a lot of teaching to do and they're drowning in administrative committees and things other than that. So it sounds as if you're a little more able to devote yourself to the science being that you're not at an academic institution. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, I would say it's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say we spend more time on our science than, mm-hmm. than a professor in the university. Well, I think it depends on individual professors. Some professors mm-hmm. spend a lot more time in teaching. Some spend very right. little, right?
Mm-hmm.
It varies, especially in some medical schools. All they teach yeah. is one or a few classes of medical students.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it's true. Generally speaking, mm-hmm. we definitely have more time devoted to science.
Is there any disadvantage to this kind of a situation as opposed to
in what respect? Disadvantage.
Well, I don't know. Prestige, maybe. Is it more prestigious to be a professor at Harvard or not? I don't know that it is. I'm just
okay.
throwing that out as a possibility.
Whether to be, you know, that is really not the issue here.
Mm-hmm.
To be in a prestigious position, the bottom line is how is your work fair?
Uh-huh.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and if you're you can be a professor at Harvard and your work is so-so,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
what's your prestige? Your mm-hmm. prestige. You know, there's always who are you talking to? You know,
uh-huh.
if you're talking to somebody who has no real education, no, basically people outside the field. If you tell them you're a professor at Harvard, you may get more respect.
Yeah.
But once you're in the group of people that really count,
yeah.
you know, evaluate your work,
right.
then it doesn't matter anymore.
Now what about, for example, in academic institutions, many of them, although not all of them,
mm-hmm.
eventually you can get tenure, which, you know, won't do you much good if you don't have grant money in terms of doing your research, but at
right.
least you won't starve.
Right.
Is there any kind of situation like that here that after a certain amount of time or a certain number of publications that you have more security?
Not really. Here everybody is dependent on their grants. Mm-hmm. And so they don't really have a tenure that they'll keep you even you don't have money.
Uh-huh.
Right, so that doesn't exist. And if that is a concern, that is if you're not doing well, I think. Mm-hmm. You better think of some safer ways. For example, if someone's project is going downhill and they realize it's not going to get them somewhere, and then they're also too old to start something new, then I think it's better to go to a place and get a position that's more secure.
Uh-huh.
Whereas for young people who start out, this should not be their number one concern. They should consider what kind of institution will help them to do their work the best,
right,
to help them successful. So they should go to that place regardless whether they are university or institutes or tenure or not tenure.
Mm-hmm.
So once they're in there, they do it. If they're successful, then it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Once you're number one, then tenure and money, they will come to you, mm-hmm, even if you don't want them.
Yeah.
So you try to, you know, that's your goal.
Yeah.
Whereas if you start out with your goal being on tenure, mm-hmm, then probably your science will not going to, it's not going to, because uh-huh, your goal is pretty minimal,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Then if that's your goal, you're going to end up in a state university maybe, mm-hmm, instead of here.
Uh-huh.
And then you could be killed that way.
Literally, yeah, or scientifically?
Scientifically, yeah, literally. For example, I had an opportunity to go to University of Florida,
mm-hmm,
and but I decided to stay here. Okay, then a friend of mine went to Gainesville, University of Florida, a couple of years later. He went there as assistant professor, and he, after two or three years, he has to quit, because he was never able to get a grant to fund his work. And so he quit.
Was that because of his work or because of being in Gainesville, Florida?
I don't know. You know, that's something, yeah, it's hard to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe his work, he's also doing, you know, he's also the type of person that he'd rather do something important and unique, even, mm-hmm, if he has to lose everything,
mm-hmm,
than to work on something safer.
Yeah.
So indeed, he is working on something, you know, very new and not well,
yeah,
accepted.
Yeah.
So then the reviewers was very critical,
yeah,
of his stuff.
Yeah.
So he just couldn't get his fund funded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know, this again maybe has something to do with the wish of the god. If he would have come here, maybe he would run into a different reviewer or something. His grant will get fly. Because here, you know, they know you're under big pressure to get funded. Whereas, mm-hmm, in Gainesville, they expect you to have some state money or something.
Mm-hmm.
Here, either I have this grant or I die. Mm-hmm. There, you may expect it to at least survive by some way.
Mm-hmm.
So you're at less risk there than here.
Yeah.
And then things also doesn't come your way,
mm-hmm,
whereas here, when you're faced with no choice, and then somehow it work out.
So
I don't know.
Yeah.
See, for example,
thing.
Yeah, faith thing. If I have decided to go to Florida, I would not get into the Pew Scholar program, right? Because I don't think that Florida was invited to nominate somebody there.
Uh huh.
I was lucky,
yeah,
also. My nomination was the first time this institute was asked to nominate,
uh-huh,
a candidate to this program. So
you kind of blazed the trail for everybody, huh? Has there been another one here?
Yes, there's another one that's currently. They're going to have a meeting in March. So there are two right now in this. But we got another one nominated this year also. Hopefully she will get it.
Okay. So, in terms of, you know, you talked a little bit about how, you know, you tend to work a little bit later in the day. How do you juggle all these things that you have to do at the same time? I mean, you know, you're writing grants, you're trying to get papers published, you're trying to run your lab, you have to supervise the technicians, you have to design the experiments for the technicians.
How?
Yeah.
Well, there are at least 8 to 10 hours a day, and definitely you can do a couple hours. First thing in the morning, I go supervise I tell the technician, check with them what they have for today.
Uh-huh.
And I have two technicians right now. I used not to have technicians. But then I realize it's beneficial to have some technician, and especially when I'm not doing a lot of experiments, and I can tell the technician to do my ideas, whereas it will be less idea to tell postdoc to do things all the time, you know. So I check with them, see what they have, and tell them what they should do today. And sometimes they have enough to do from previous experiments, and they just continue. Then there's not much. I don't deal with postdocs a lot on a daily basis.
They're
on their own. And then I come back to the office, write papers, or doing some computer work, research. You know, a lot of my work right now involves database analysis. Uh-huh. Since we have this family of genes, and I can discover new genes just by database searching. So I do that, and then paper writing, and then it's about time to go home.
So what time do you leave here most days?
Now I'm pretty in on time, about 6 o'clock. So
about
I,
six.
Because my, my parents-in-law are here, and if I want to have family dinner, I better go home about 6.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'll just eat leftovers.
Uh-huh.
That sometimes happens if I have something really late.
Okay. So do you...
Then I don't usually work anymore.
That's it.
Yeah, okay. After dinner, I find myself not comparable to when I was young. Mm-hmm. When I was young, I can work to 11:30 and still have a nice sound sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, it seems like if I write or read too heavily, then I lose sleep.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what kinds of things do you do in the evening?
Yeah, mostly I think reading papers. The magazines, I will carry them home.
You mean journal papers?
Journals, yeah.
And not the newspaper?
Not the newspaper. Newspaper has some in the morning.
That'll disturb your sleep, reading the newspaper.
Oh, really?
Well, it's all the awful things going on in the world.
Well, yeah, so. But the San Diego Union paper we had doesn't have too much international stuff. So pretty much reading some light stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, there are two other things that eat up people's time a lot.
Mm.
One is the internet. I mean, a lot of people spend a huge amount of time on the internet. And the other is television.
Right.
Do you
we spend very little time on television, even though I enjoy but my wife is it purely, I enjoy sports, so I sometimes watch a lot of sports on television. And but that was mostly on weekends. Uh-huh. On weekdays, we pretty much do not have television on for the children's sake. Mm-hmm. So we don't want them to watch TV. Uh-huh. And that's why we're not having too much TV at night. Uh-huh. And the kids will do homeworks, hopefully. Uh-huh. In the weekends, I sometimes watch a little bit of a tennis when there's a tournament.
Okay, I need to change the table. Sure.